Kia ora, you're listening to Dateline Pacific from RNZ Pacific. I'm Koroi Hawkins. Coming up.
If necessary, we must discontinue our participation in Pacific Island Forum activities.
Palau threatens to leave the forum over competition for the Secretary General's post. COVID-19 and inequality dominate Pacific election issues in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Also,
so it's not somebody being smacked on the wrist or anything like that, but to be better prepared in the future.
A task force has been set up to resolve conflict within Fiji's main opposition party, and COVID-19 is threatening the NRL dreams of young league players in New Zealand. Palau's president, Tommy Remengesau Jr., has threatened to leave the Pacific Islands Forum if the Secretary General's post does not go to Micronesia. Only one Micronesian has ever held the chief executive-like role, Kiribati's Sir Iremia Tabai, who was appointed in 1992. Since then, it has been held by candidates from Australia, Tuvalu, Samoa and Papua New Guinea. PNG's Dan Meg Taylor was the first woman to be appointed and has been in the role for the past two terms. During the opening of a special Micronesian leaders meeting in Palau's capital, Koror, Mr. Remengesau spoke of a gentleman's agreement between forum leaders that the next Secretary General would come from their region.
This is an important consideration for Palau to continue to participate and be productive in the PIF agenda as long as our promises are met.
Tommy Remengesau and the other Micronesian leaders have nominated Gerald Zakios from the Marshall Islands for the post, but four other countries have also put forward candidates. Mr. Remengesau told the meeting, also attended by leaders from the Marshall Islands and Nauru, the Secretary General's post has become increasingly politicised, and he urged his Micronesian counterparts to stand together behind their man.
We must therefore pursue every available option to ensure that these prior commitments are kept now and in the future. If necessary, we must discontinue our participation in Pacific Island Forum activities until this issue is first resolved.
The meeting, which included other Micronesian leaders participating online, also focused on climate change, fisheries, and of course the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic. Nauru's president pointed out that the meeting in Koror, which coincides with Palau's 26th independence anniversary celebrations, is the first face-to-face gathering of Pacific leaders since the start of the pandemic. Lionel Agnemer says it is a testament to the COVID-free status of all five Micronesian countries achieved through strict border control measures.
When other countries are still contemplating about a travel bubble, a trans-Tasman bubble, a Bula bubble, a Pacific bubble, gum bubble, whatever bubble they would like to use. We have taken the bold first step and made sure that the Micronesian bubble is true.
However, this is only partly true because there is still next to no tourism across Micronesia, and the US territories in the Northern Pacific, CNMI and Guam, have not escaped COVID. Guam is one of the worst affected in the region, with 40 deaths and 3,200 cases. The fallout from COVID-19 and progress towards addressing inequality were some of the topics fiercely debated as New Zealand political parties' Pacific candidates tried to convince the community to support them. The Pacific community in South Auckland tend to be some of Labour's strongest supporters, but what had been done with that loyalty was questioned at the RNZ Pacific Media Network debate in Manukau. Jamie Tahana was there.
In Māngere in 2017, Labour won 70% of the party vote, and its candidate, Aupito William Seo, won 69%, making it one of the safest seats in the country. He argued the Labour government, with its largest ever Pacific caucus, is finally in a position to make long-term change.
This is the first time that you've had five Pacific MPs who are ministers and are actually able to do something about it. But we also realise that the evidence shows that you're not going to be able to bring about these changes overnight. So we're not only looking at 3 years, we're looking 30 years.
He pointed out unprecedented money has been poured into the community for a whole range of programs, housing, health, economic and cultural. But the fundamental inequities run deep, vividly illustrated through the second COVID-19 outbreak in Auckland, where more than two-thirds of those infected were Pacifica. And in last year's measles outbreak, where a review found authorities were slow to respond and community health providers were sidelined.
If it had happened in Epsom, would the response have been more effective?
We've never had the opportunity to be able to inject our own cultural intelligence in the system that delivers well-being or wellness for our people. And I think we've got the opportunity.
Aupito William Sewell said the groundwork has been done, not just for health, but for jobs and education. Median incomes have grown 23% for Pacific people in the past 3 years. The National Party's candidate in Māngere, Whanoti Agnes Lohini, one of two Pacifica on the party list, said while incomes have grown, so have expenses, including the Auckland fuel tax. She acknowledged while her Māngere electorate would only get a small tax cut from National, it would still make a difference.
Our families know, we actually know, understand that that price difference, whether it's extra $20 or $50 a week in petrol a week, is going to have to be a trade-off for something else, something in the lunchbox, replacing holy shoes, replacing holy socks. So everything helps, and every little bit helps.
Agnes Lohini said other policies would help Pacifica grow their incomes. The recession and COVID-19 job losses has seen many teens drop out of school, forced to choose between an education or helping their families. Lourdes Vunnell, who at 18 is the Greens' youngest candidate, described that as heartbreaking.
We need to acknowledge that there are families who don't have that choice. They have to move out of education so that they can support each other and live well. And that's why the Poverty Action Plan would be a really nice way to make sure people don't have to really apply for the benefit and go through that really, really horrendous, horrendous process where you are picked apart.
Agnes Lohini said flexibility is desperately needed.
The education system is broken if the students have to make that choice. We have the ability to do some teaching at home and parents have to become the teachers. So we do have to access the technology at hand, plus we have to have some flexibility.
Luella Lineker, who is standing as an independent in Manurewa, said the entire system is holding Pacific people down.
I think despite people doing well, people see that as, oh, Pacific can succeed. But when the system's set up in a way that means Māori and Pacific can't achieve to the best of their ability, I think we need to fundamentally look at that.
The full RNZ PMN debate airs on air and online this Sunday from 4 p.m. From Manukau, ko Jamie Tahana, tēnei.
A working committee has been tasked with addressing the factions within Fiji's main opposition party. The task force is expected to look into the issues which led to the suspension of the Social Democratic Liberal Party in May by the Elections Office. A SODELPA board meeting last weekend agreed there is a need to sort out the issues which have split the party, and the board wants any conflicts resolved ahead of its AGM in November. But as Christine Ravoy reports, there's more at stake for the party.
SODELPA was found in breach of the Political Parties Act when it held its AGM last year. The ban was lifted a month later, but the factions remain. A senior party executive claims talks for an official split were initiated by certain members after its suspension. General Secretary Emele Duitu Turanga says the working committee is expected to draw lessons from the suspension.
The management board will appoint an arbiter, an independent person, to look into that and report back to the board. So that directive came from the management board. So in that sense, it's resolved that there will be an independent review.
Ms. Duitu Turanga says the committee's findings will also serve as a learning strategy for SODELPA to prevent a future crisis in the party.
It's not an investigation or a disciplinary action. It was kind of putting that forward because we're trying to get right down to where the people are. What are people talking about? So when people are talking about our internal problems, we need to look at ourselves as well.
New Zealand-based Fijian academic Stephen Ratuva says SODELPA needs to re-emerge and reform itself to gain the confidence and trust of voters.
Some of them shifted from Fiji First in the last election, and hoping that the SODELPA will provide them with the kind of hope that they were looking for. And what's happening now may have sent the wrong message to them, in terms of putting their faith in the party.
The political sociologist at the University of Canterbury says the future of SADELPA, which scooped almost 40% of votes in the 2018 polls, hinges on how genuine, deep and sustainable the party conflict resolution process is.
After the last election, SADELPA was doing very well in terms of bridging that gap from the 2014 election, from the huge Fiji First majority, and they were able to reduce it significantly. So if the trend continued, we would have seen a change of government in the next election. Now, with this particular crisis, questions can be asked whether that momentum is still there or whether it has been overshadowed by what has happened.
Party leader Sitiveni Rambuka agrees the party needs to resolve its internal issues, and he's optimistic the working committee will do just that.
They will find out why did we get into that trap. So the result of that will be, in the future, avoid these. So it's not somebody being smacked on the wrist or anything like that, but to be better prepared in the future.
Meanwhile, the race for the top job at SADELPA is heading into a five-way contest. Rambuka is expected to face his toughest challenge for the party leadership with four senior members, William Ngavoka, Rofili Petuisawau, Aseri Randrondro, and Pio Tambaiwalu also in the running. Ko Kristen Ravoy, Aho.
COVID-19 is threatening to scupper the NRL dreams of young rugby league players in New Zealand. The global pandemic has wreaked havoc on the domestic game in Aotearoa, with the national secondary schools and youth tournaments among a host of events to be cancelled. Tale Anderson has more.
Experience administrator and rugby league agent Jordan Friend says the coronavirus has been devastating for the development of young players in New Zealand.
For me, that's the thing that sort of stands out and of concern and about how what we can do as a game in New Zealand to make sure that we can provide something for the for these players to keep their dream alive, but also to keep them participating in the sport and keeping them developing, I guess.
Auckland-based agent Dixon McIver says the recruitment of players in New Zealand is already declining, hitting Māori and Pacifica players the hardest.
It's really put a big dampener on the kids in this particular 15, 16 and 17 and even the 18-year-old age group now, because of the possibilities where they've been waiting to have this crack have gone.
McIver is also no fan of the New Zealand Warriors' new partnership with the Brisbane-based Redcliffe Dolphins.
They've pretty much given up on their development programs that they've had prior. And it seems quite obvious with the Warriors now doing a deal with the Redcliffe Dolphins over the next 3 years, that the development from the only NRL club that we have in this country has almost turned its back on our youngsters as well.
Warriors CEO Cameron George says the club lost a lot of revenue when the NRL was shut down, and partnering with Redcliffe has helped them to retain a lot of players. He says responsibility for the domestic game rests with New Zealand Rugby League.
But hopefully the governing bodies such as New Zealand Rugby League and the NRL and whoever else invest not only money but time and energy into ensuring that those competitions are retained in order for kids to have the best pathways to come through and play at the elite level.
The NZRL have since announced an inaugural schools vs clubs fixture to take place in November. Chief Executive Greg Peters hopes the match can help stem the tide of falling participation rates.
It's a big concern. We're hoping that obviously we can get back to normality next year and that'll turn around again. And that by standing up some of these national tournaments that we are at least providing something of a pathway so that they're still getting an opportunity to have something to aspire to.
The fixture is set to stay as an annual event, and Peters is hoping local competitions can resume in the new year. Ko Tale Anderson, tēnei.
And that's Dateline Pacific. For more, head to rnz.co.nz and click on the Pacific tab. Leana Hola.